Mackenzie Gore is a player that the Yankees have had conversations about trading for. That is according to Chris Kirschner of The Athletic, as the Yankees continue to search for starting pitching options. Today, we're going to break down his profile, talk about why Mackenzie Gore could be a fit for this roster, what it would take to trade for him, all of that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. Make sure you like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell, leave a comment, help support the channel. We're trying to get to 30,000 subscribers. And with that being said, Alex, it's great to have you back, my man. How are you doing today, and how are you feeling going into this cold January day?
Well, I am happy to be back, my friend. As I saw a comment said, where is Alex? I disappear every now and then, but I'm always here. I'm always watching. I'm just in the background helping support the squad, but always got to jump back on Fireside Yankees to show my face and show my appreciation for you guys. But if you haven't heard what I have to say in a while, it's been a slow offseason, Ryan. You know, we see the memes every day, you know, come on, do something, Brian Cashman. I get what he's doing. And, you know, we'll talk about Mackenzie Gore, we'll talk about Freddie Peralta, we'll talk about a couple guys here. Obviously, the Edward Cabrera sweepstakes doesn't go our way. Some people might say, damn it. Other people say, well, that might be a blessing in disguise because of his injury-prone stature. But Brian Cashman is being patient. Same thing as David Stearns right now with the Mets. They're both remaining very, very cautious, and they're just essentially lying in wait. And what that means is, they're waiting for the right opportunity to cross their desk to pounce. They're not trying to be the aggressors. In the past, how many teams have used the Yankees as leverage to overpay? And then we realize, well, we want that guy too, and then we end up overpaying for them. We've seen it happen with guys like Marcus Stroman. The market thins out. We overpay for guys that are not that good. So now Cashman's saying to himself, well, I'm not going to overpay for bad pitching. If I'm going to get a pitcher, it's going to be via trade, and that's where this discussion is going to kind of lead us. But we know the Yankees want Cody Bellinger. We know they've made a couple offers up to this point. We don't know what those offers are. We know Kyle Tucker's market is kind of softening. I actually think the Mets might be the team that swoops in and gets him over the Blue Jays. I think that they might say, well, we might be able to get him for like 5 years, but we'll give him a record-setting AAV, but we're not going to give him the long-term commitment that maybe he wants. So there's a lot of like under-the-radar things happening in the market right now. It's slow developing. We want the Yankees to be aggressive, but we also don't want them to overpay. Like, it's annoying right now, but Ryan, a year from now, when we have a guy that's sucking and we paid $10 million more for him, we'll be kicking rocks at the same time. So I don't mind the cautious approach, but we are losing out on some potential opportunities. And Gore is a really interesting arm, Ryan. So like, I'll let you get started with his repertoire, his skill set, why the Yankees might be intrigued in him. Obviously, adding a third lefty arm, it's maybe overkill, but the underlying metrics are encouraging, and I think that Matt Blake might be able to get the best out of it.
And I will say this in regard to Mackenzie Gore and the idea of adding a third left-handed pitcher. If you look at league-wide trends, Alex, and you look at how left-handed pitchers have performed compared to their right-handed counterparts, it's pretty clear that lefties have the advantage over righties. Left-handed starting pitchers this past season recorded a 3.88 ERA and a 3.97 FIP. Right-handed starting pitchers had a 4.33 ERA and a 4.30 FIP. And you might go, well, Ryan, you know, left-on-right matchups, you got to be worried about that. And that is true. But left-handed hitters perform better against right-handed pitchers than right-handed batters perform against left-handed pitchers. So the platoon advantage is no longer as strong as it used to be. Lefties are killing it into today's game. When you think of the top pitchers in the league, and we want to look at, let's say, the top 10 pitchers in terms of wins above replacement from this past season on Fangraphs: Tarek Skubal, Christopher Sanchez, Garrett Crochet, Jesus Luzardo, Max Fried, five of the top eight guys in wins above replacement this past year, left-handed starting pitchers. So when we look at the left-handed starting pitching market, I don't think you can have too many. I think you can only just focus on making sure you're getting the best players available. Mackenzie Gore's fastball to me is something that is very encouraging and very enticing. I know the results on that pitch aren't great, but I think that plays more to the fact that he throws it too much. His release point of 5.7 feet is a little bit lower than the average release height for a four-seam fastball. He's got a wide release height, so it's this weird deceptive arm angle that can kind of get on you quick. He's got a lot of extension on that fastball as well. He gets nearly 7 feet of extension on that pitch. It gives it a perceived 96 miles per hour in velocity. Like, I think the power stuff, the ability to throw that fastball with gas, with good vertical movement, the upside in his secondary pitches, as you mentioned, Matt Blake, Sam Breen, the work they could do with this kid. He's only going to be 27 this year. He's a year younger than Edward Cabrera. Why not bring this guy in? If you can't get a Freddie Peralta, if you're still looking for a starter, why not pay the price for this guy knowing he's cheap, he's going to be here this year, next year, and this is a guy you could make into an actual star. Like, his stuff is really that good. Alex, what would your response be to the Yankees trading for Mackenzie Gore? How would you feel about that kind of transaction?
Well, you know, when you look at Gore, obviously, you look at the ERA and you're like, okay, maybe he's not all that good. But Ryan, we don't look at just ERA on this podcast. And if you're a fan of this podcast, you know that's not where we stop. It's where we start. He's 26. This is a guy that's going to be a free agent in 2028. So you have 2 years of cost control performance on him. And, you know, that is super valuable. The Yankees are probably going to have to give up a pretty sizable chunk of prospects to actually get him. But the one thing I do love about Gore, he's pitched back-to-back years with over 150 innings. The Yankees need reliability. Gerrit Cole, we don't know what version of Gerrit Cole we're going to get in 2026. I think people are thinking we're getting vintage Cole. I would be extremely surprised if we got anything close to vintage Gore, or rather vintage Cole. I'm hoping for like a 3.5 ERA in 100 innings. Like, that's the type of production we might actually get from Cole, and that would be disappointing, but that's just reality for a 35-year-old starting pitcher coming off Tommy John surgery. I hate to burst that bubble, guys, but we need to be practical about this. Cole might not be the same. He might be more of like a mid, like, rotation arm for us next season. The Yankees need more innings eaters, in my opinion. Like, that's, like, Will Warren can eat innings for you, but he's not going to give you a 3.35 ERA. Most likely he's probably going to be more around a 4. Elmer Rodriguez is unproven. We love Cam Schlittler. Of course, we want to see him in a much higher elevated role, and we will see him in that. Fried is obviously tremendous. Rodon's going to miss the first few weeks of the season. Luis Gil is just a complete Russian roulette game. Gore gives you some sustainability, gives you some reliability, and I think that we have not even seen relatively close to the upside that he offers. You know, a guy that ranks in, what, the 80th percentile in whiff rate, 80th percentile strikeout rate. And like you mentioned, the extension is really good. The Yankees love arms with extension. What, his fastball's 95, looks more like 97, 98. So, you know, not to mention his off-speed pitches, like the slider and curveball are really, really good. If that fastball just tweak it a bit, he could be a really good arm. He could be, you know, number three on this team, you know, assuming Cole, Rodon, and Fried are not all like pumping gas. And then of course Schlittler is a bit of a unknown at this point. We of course he's known, but we haven't seen him over the course of a full season when teams kind of figure him out a little bit. He needs that extra secondary pitch. But, you know, Ryan, looking at Gore, that reliability, that the ability to eat innings there, his upside, that's a big selling point to me. And the Yankees need someone who can eat innings. Tell me what your thoughts about Cola right now. I think that we definitely need to temper expectations about his impact next season.
Yeah, look, I think we can all agree. Look, Gerrit Cole is a pitching aficionado. This guy is a genius when it comes to pitching, but there are physical limitations you're going to experience at the age of 35. The fact that you're coming off of Tommy John surgery, I don't expect Gerrit Cole to be a non-factor, but I also don't expect Gerrit Cole to come in and solve every aspect of their pitching issues. This is a team that needs some more pitching support, and even if we don't want to look ahead and look into the Gerrit Cole and Rodon returning period, what about the time period when they're not here? The Yankee rotation depth chart is not just uninspiring, it is incomplete. The New York Yankees currently have Paul Blackburn and Elmer Rodriguez as their sixth starter options. Paul Blackburn was signed to be a guy that they hope breaks out in the bullpen. Keeping him in that role is imperative to making sure that signing has a chance of being returning on value, right? You don't, or on investment. You're not going to get the return on investment with Paul Blackburn getting lit up every fifth day. Then you look at Elmer Rodriguez. He has one regular season AAA start and one postseason AAA start. In neither of those starts, he was pretty effective. And while I don't think that's a reflection of him not being that good of a prospect, I do think it should be a reason why you go, okay, let's at least give him, let's give the Yankees options that can start in place of him as the sixth starter, or bring in somebody who pushes Yarbrough to that role, because you want Rodriguez to surprise you, Alex. You want him to come into camp, pitch his tail off, and maybe steal a spot from somebody. That's how you want him to make the team. Kind of like how Luis Gil did in 2024, where if you watched him pitch, and I'm sure people listening to this or watching this remember that time, he was thrown 100 by Bryce Harper, right? Like, that was the kind of spring he had, and that's why he made the team after Gerrit Cole got hurt. For Elmer, I'd want it to be that kind of situation. He comes into camp throwing 96, 97 miles per hour. Everything looks crisp. He looks sharp, and we go, all right, one guy went down. We're not going with Yarbrough. We're going with Elmer. That is where I'd want Elmer Rodriguez to make the team. Not a situation, Alex, where it's he's our only option. He's our best bet. That's all we have. You need to have more options. Mackenzie Gore provides that, and I guess I want to pass it off to you like this, Alex. In a potential deal with the Nationals, who is the best prospect you are not trading to get a deal done? So the guy where you're like, all right, at this point and up, those guys are off the table for this deal.
I mean, it's George Lombard Jr. That's the guy that the Yankees are holding on to, you know, for dear life, because the defense, and Cashman said it recently, if you plugged Lombard Jr. in at any infield position, you could throw in third base or shortstop. Those are the most critical ones long term. He's a gold glover on day one. You have a gold glove level defensive player on day one sitting in double A right now. Like, that is, and he's 20 years old, 21. Like, I think he's 20. That is outstanding value to have, right? The Yankees are like, this dude, okay, yeah, we like Anthony Volpe to a degree. You know, he's proved that he has some defensive value. His offense is obviously a big, you know, what if every single day, and he's been below average every year in the majors. But on day one, George Lombard Jr. is I would even argue, Ryan, substantially better defender than Anthony Volpe. Like, substantially. And obviously we've seen really good seasons from Volpe. Lombard Jr. is that much better, in my opinion. He is so smooth, so smart, so clean fundamentally. There is no breakdown in his fundamentals, and that is a massive difference. Volpe's fundamentals break down pretty frequently, especially when he's compromised this past season with injury. Of course, any player would be compromised if they were playing injured to a degree, but Lombard Jr. is that good defensively. Offensively, there needs to be a lot of work. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but the raw tools are there. He's got power. He's got size. He's got speed. He can steal bags for you. He can make contact. The contact is, you know, obviously a point of emphasis for him, but he is that young. Think about it. Spencer Jones is 24, right? Lombard Jr. is 20. So that's a four-year difference, and we believe he can get there because he's just growing into his frame. He's just rounding out those tools. So Lombard Jr. is the guy that I think the Yankees would probably keep off the board. I don't label Schlittler as a prospect anymore, so I'm not going to include him in that kind of mix. The other two guys that you're talking about are Spencer Jones and Elmer Rodriguez. Those are the two guys that are like, you move him, you probably move one of them. One of those guys are headlining a deal for Gore. The question is, you know, you could even float Dominguez as being that option too. He's not a prospect, but you could throw him into the mix. Now I'll ask you, Ryan, do you think that the Yankees see more upside and sustainability with Rodriguez, or do you think they see more sustainability and upside with Spencer Jones? That might be the question that helps them choose which player to throw in to the headline a deal like this.
So, Alex, I'm gonna, you know, kind of maybe contradict myself here, because I just spoke about how I don't think the Yankees should construct their roster in a way where Elmer Rodriguez must be the first man up, and then I'm gonna follow that by telling you I am currently putting together my top 30, and I am seriously considering putting Elmer Rodriguez Cruz as my number one prospect. This is not a diss against George Lombard Jr. This is not a diss against Dax Kilby. My evaluations of them have not soured dramatically between October and now. But Elmer Rodriguez, in my opinion, is a considerably better prospect than Spencer Jones at this point. I look at Elmer, and I see somebody who, if you give him a couple of weeks in AAA, let him get more comfortable with that big league ball, could come up throwing 5-plus pitches, a 6th pitch that I consider to be below average, but a 6th pitch nonetheless. Throws from a weird arm angle, has like a very low release height given his actual height. Has very nasty pitches, has just a feel for every single pitch he throws, the repeatability in his mechanics, the execution, sinker, every single time. You want your sinkers, you know, especially his arm slot, kind of the Will Warren, Michael King archetype of pitchers. You want your sinkers to go first base side of the plate, right? You're throwing your sinker, let's say this is first base side of the plate, this is third base side of the plate. You want it on this line every single time, right on the line of the batter's box, every single time, every single time, every single time. And when you watch Elmer pitch, he executes it over and over and over and over again. If it's May and somebody goes down and Elmer has to come up, at that point, yes, I'm confident he'll be a productive big league starter. For that reason, he's going to be asked about in this deal. for that reason, the Nationals may not make a deal without Elmer in it. But if the Yankees can make a deal without trading Elmer Rodriguez Cruz and land an impact starting pitcher, they must do it. Whether that's Gore, whether that's Peralta, whether that's somebody we're not even considering, that is the recipe to building out this rotation in a way, Alex, where it's both productive and sustainable. Elmer plus getting that other guy in is my ideal world. So if Spencer Jones can go, that's not a, again, not a knock against Spencer. He is simply just not as good of a prospect, in my opinion, as Elmer. And we'll talk about Bellinger in a bit, but bringing back Bellinger gives you the ability to look at Dominguez, to look at Jones, and say, hey, I can trade one, if not two of you, to go improve my roster. And that's where I think I do have some confidence they get a deal done for a starter, even if it's not the one I want, because they're going to have a surplus if Bellinger comes back. So, yeah, I mean, I think Bellinger ties into – it's funny how Bellinger does tie into this. I don't think the Yankees are waiting on Bellinger to do things because they think he's so great, but because the one chip they could trade to save their farm is Dominguez, and that is dependent on whether Bellinger comes back or not. Also, Jones is their fourth outfielder right now. Who else plays center field other than Trent Grisham on the roster, Alex?
It's a great question. Nobody
else.
Nobody.
We need Bellinger back in order to even like consider moving Jones, you could argue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, you're absolutely right. Or you pivot to like a much lesser like Harrison Bader, but I know the Yankees don't want to do that. So I think what you said about Elmer Rodriguez is really, really interesting, because I was going to point out, you hit it right on the head. This dude is a bag of pitches. He's not a fastball slider type of guy. You know, this is a guy who has every pitch in the bag, and he executes most of them at a very high level. And he's young, and he has, 6 years of control, and he gets to go and learn from Gerrit Cole. You know what I mean? And he gets to learn from Max Fried. He gets to learn from some of these insane pitchers. And his velocity has also been dialing up. Hasn't he hit like 99 on a couple of occasions with his fastball? Like, this is a dude that could turn up the dial if he needs to. This pitcher, like, people are really, you know, you come to this podcast for many reasons. You love Anthony. You love Ryan. You love myself. However, you love Chris, you love Jacob, you love everybody on this podcast. But the reason you come to Fireside Yankees is because we turn the attention to prospects nobody really is thinking about. And people are thinking about Elmer Rodriguez, but not many people were thinking about Ben Rice or Cam Schlittler or Austin Wells when we were talking about them 3-4 years ago. But Ryan, you know, put this man Elmer Rodriguez on the radar for people. This dude is much closer to being an MLB-ready arm than people are giving him credit for. This is a guy who was going to make an impact for the Yankees this year. They just need him to get a little bit more comfortable. He could come into spring training absolutely dominating. Like, I wouldn't be surprised by that one bit. If that's the case, you bring back Bellinger, which seems to be the trend that they're going in. They're probably going to go in that and, you know, get a reunion done with a new deal. And that makes Spencer Jones expendable. I really like Jones. You really like Jones. His upside is that impressive. He is molded to be a Yankee. He is molded for that stadium. Like, everything they've done with that kid has been molded for Yankee Stadium. And he's been working diligently, nonstop this offseason to improve his pitch recognition and, you know, cut down on the whiffs and increase the contact and maintain the power, all that stuff. And he could be a really good defensive outfielder. I mean, we heard he's mirroring his defense after Kevin Kiermaier. Like, this is a guy who wants to be great, and he's got the work ethic to prove it. And he's going to get to the majors and be working with some of the best outfielders in baseball, you know, in terms of, I mean, Trent Grisham historically has been really, really good defensively. Judge, obviously, you're talking about arguably the best right fielder in the game. And then you bring back Bellinger, who's got that level of acumen to support him as well. So, you know, we really like Spencer Jones, but Elmer Rodriguez is a lot, I think, has a lot higher chance. His floor is much higher, right? That's where I would say, like, Elmer Rodriguez's floor is a good 50% higher than Spencer Jones, but his upside is less than Jones. That's kind of where I'd go. So really, it's up to your preference if you're the Yankees. Do you go with the upside, the boomer bust candidate, or do you go with the guy that's going to give you solid rotation innings year in and year out with 6 years of control? Like, pitching is the most expensive thing in baseball right now. That is where teams are really struggling to find sustainability. The Yankees may have an answer on the back end right there that's ready to make an impact this year. So maybe that is the case. Like, the Washington Nationals probably are like, we want Rodriguez. Like, this is the guy that we want. You either are going to include him or you're not going to include him. You're not getting Mackenzie Gore. Are you throwing him into that mix, though? If it means getting Gore, are you giving Rodriguez?
I would rather trade him for Peralta than Gore. And the reason I say that is, yes, I know I'm not getting the extra year of control, but that is the move you make because you are giving up the future or part
for
of
an
your
ace.
Future. Yeah, right, so for the present. Yeah, and if I want to maximize that, I want Freddy Peralta. Like what? You have Gore, and Gore's good. I like Gore, but, you know, Peralta's better, number one. And number two, more importantly, hey, I mean, when Peralta's a free agent, Scooble's a free agent. And that's got to be part of the conversation, no? Where you want to get in on that. I would want in on that. Even if you're not going to land the player, you should make a spirited attempt to try and land the player. You should be all in on trying to get the player. And if you don't get the player, oh, well, you have the incumbent. Your incumbent guy who is, I mean, right there. It's Peralta. So you would walk away knowing you're either going to hopefully get Scooble or get Peralta. And Peralta's a pretty freaking good consolation prize, man. I got to tell you, he's a pretty freaking good pitcher. The reason I'm hesitant to trade Rodriguez for Gore, even though, again, I think the Yankees do need to pull down a starting pitching trade. And if it's trade Rodriguez for Gore or do nothing, I'd rather trade Rodriguez for Gore. But the thing with Rodriguez is, Alex, I kind of want you to picture this kind of starter in your head, right? The Will Warrens, the Michael Kings, the Clark Schmidts, they all kind of have that sinker sweeper, lower arm slot, funkier delivery, all those things. Now, you got to keep that image in your mind. Now, imagine it with the same level of movement. If you were to aggregate all three profiles, like Warren has more movement than Rodriguez. Schmidt probably has the least amount of lateral movement of the group, but still nasty. Rodriguez is somewhere in that spectrum of lateral movement. Now, add in, throws harder than all of them. Sits 95, 96. Boom, that's a big advantage to have. And the other thing, all three of those pitchers, Alex, their biggest shortcoming when they first came up was against left-handed pitching. Elmer Rodriguez this past season held left-handed batters to an under 500 OPS. He was better against lefties than he was against righties. So the biggest, the number one and number two issues I have with pitching prospects usually are arsenal isn't deep enough. Like, if I were to point out one flaw I had with Schlittler when he first came up, he was fastball cutter like 80 to 90% of the time. He didn't have anything else. If you wanted to look at, like, a Warren, can't get lefties out. Now, imagine if neither of those things are concerned. Neither of those two things are concerned. There isn't a concern about the stuff. The ground ball rates are brilliant. The strike throwing abilities have rapidly progressed. This is a guy who, when you look at the flaws, the issues, he doesn't, you close your eyes, you can't find him. Oh, he's not super flashy. Okay. He doesn't have an issue. When you look at these top pitchers in today's game, velo, depth of arsenal, and good platoon splits. Those are the three things they all check. And I think right now, Rodriguez can check all three of those boxes. We'll see how it plays in the big league level, but I have very high hopes for this guy. The Yankees have built, molded, and created this archetype of starter where it's these big pronators who spin the ball really well laterally. And they found one who doesn't have issues against lefties. Hard, good changeup. That's hard to give up. Got a really good changeup. That's hard to give up, man. That really is. I do have a kind of a package in my head that I would throw together. I'm gonna take the failed Edward Cabrera trade, and I'm just gonna throw Jason Dominguez in it. And I'm just gonna say, hey, look, you're getting an Owen Casey kind of guy. Dominguez and Owen Casey are pretty similar. You're also getting a number six, number five. I'm probably gonna have Hess at number five and Lewis at number like eight, somewhere in that range. You're getting what I would perceive as like a top like 70-ish prospect in terms of value in Dominguez, and two guys who are top 10 prospects in our system. I think it's a pretty fucking good offer. I think it is. I would do that deal. I'd do that deal for the Nationals. I'd do that deal if I'm the Yankees. And I think you're happy. Both sides are happy. Would you make that deal, Alex? Jason Dominguez, Ben Hess, Dylan Lewis for Mackenzie Gore. How would you feel about that?
I'd be fine with, look, Ben Hess is an interesting pitcher because he's a power guy. He's like, what, 6'7"? This is a monster on the mound. So, you know, he has interesting upside. Lewis, obviously, very interesting in his own right. And Dominguez, like, we've had this discussion before, and the comments are always the same. We need to keep Dominguez. We have to give him. And right now, I think we're riding on past hype with Jason a little bit. I think we're riding that kind of train that's like, we called him the Martian, and he got comps to Lou Gehrig, and it's like, oh, like we want to see if he can be that good. Like, the likelihood that he ever gets even relatively close to the peak contribution that we thought he could make is probably less than 5%. Like, realistically, I'm sorry, but like, what people were talking about Dominguez being, that he could be this perennial, like Juan Soto type of player, there is a less than 5% chance he will ever get to that. Ever. There's probably less than 2% chance he'll ever get to that. So like, we need to drop that expectation from him, because it's partially why we're getting disappointed. You know, the defensive issues, he's not playing right field, right? Like, the Yankees can't hide him from those issues. It's Aaron Judge is in right field. Like, there is no moving him from there. So you're sticking him in a position that he is going to struggle with. And he could get better. He could. But suffering the consequences of not getting that much better and him being in a postseason situation is not good. And he's a bad switch hitter. Like, people, like, go look at his splits against right-handed, or rather left-handed pitching. It's bad. Like, he's not even, you really can't even use him. He is a platoon outfielder at this point in his career. You can't put him in defense. You can't play him defensively as a backup. And you can't put him against left-handed pitching. He is a left-handed, right-handed pitching specialist. That is where his value is. If the Yankees have to trade that to get a controllable arm that has tons of upside to round out our pitching, that's okay with me, because Jason is not going to start next year anyway, most likely. He's going to be your fourth outfielder. And I'd rather have a guy who at any given at bat could launch a 450-foot bomb to right field and play above-average defense, steal bags, and be able to play center field, right? Play center field. And you could stick Jones in left field and survive, right? You could stick him in left field and say, okay, like, we know you're competent enough that you can survive. People are going to hate this. I understand. We want to see what Dominguez is. And, like, if we do end up not trading him, cool. I'm excited to see Dominguez. I'm excited to see what he can do. But I am the lowest on Dominguez of those groups of players right now, of the group of players that I'm, like, interested in watching next season. I'm the lowest on Dominguez simply because the Yankees are that low on him. They're trying to replace him. They're trying to put roadblocks in his way. They don't think he's a starter. So, I mean, you can hear me say it, or you can just listen to what the Yankees are saying, and they don't think that he's a starter right now. So, you know, I think that if there was an opportunity to move him for a deal like that, I think they would throw him in instantly. I don't think they would hesitate personally. That's just how I feel about it. I hope that he proves me wrong. I hope I'm an idiot. I hope I'm stupid. I hope that I look like a fool in like 3 or 4 or 5 months. But I need to see it to believe it, because last year was not encouraging enough for me to like put my stock and put my chips in for Dominguez being like a well above average player at this point. But he is young. He's only 22. So like, I also can't write off the fact that he could get better over time. But the Yankees have a window to win right now with Aaron Judge. They can't wait 4 years for Dominguez to finally like figure it all out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, look, there's a better option to play left field. There's two better options to play left field for the Yankees in free agency. One is Kyle Tucker. They don't have interest in that player, unfortunately. The other is Cody Bellinger, who they do have very much a lot of interest in, and they want to bring him back. I think we would both agree I'd rather have Cody Bellinger on the 2026 Yankees than Jason Dominguez. Just for 2026, like not thinking any further into the future and having to like ponder the cost of acquisition or anything, I'd rather have Bellinger. That's not really close to me. And if I can get Jason Dominguez to bring me back a major league piece, which I think he can, like, I think if the Yankees didn't have Bellinger or Grisham, if they had only one of the two, Dominguez would start, they maybe platoon him, and the Yankees would be fine at that position. But I don't believe that the Yankees should compromise pursuits of Bellinger or pursuits of pitching for the chance of figuring out what Dominguez can be one day. I don't think the Yankees are, as you mentioned, in a position where they could be wait and see on these guys. For pitching, it's different because you'll always have opportunities to need pitching. And even then, like, there are pitching prospects I would trade from this system simply with more comfort with knowing that I have other guys. Like, you think I like Ben Hess. Am I going to, like, lose my life if they trade Ben Hess? No, they've got Elmer, they've got LaGrange, they've got Schlittler, they've got Warren, they've got Heal, they've got Rodon and Fried and Cole all under contract for at least the next 3 years. Like, I don't care too much about trading Hess for a major league piece. Lewis, you know, I think Lewis is really good. I think Lewis gets a lot of, like, doesn't get a lot of attention that he should get. This guy has, like, all of the tools. This is, like, a guy with, like, less power and speed than Jones, but, like, way more contact abilities, way better bat to ball. He can be a freak of nature. Can play center field. I'm comfortable trading him because you have outfielders. If you sign Bellinger, you're not going to have, like, a hole in center field next year or in left field next year. Again, it's all to say the Yankees need to be – the Yankees' offseason plan needs to play out this way. They've got to get the Bellinger resolution soon. I want him back, but you need a resolution sooner rather than later. Preferably this week, honestly. And then you have to then use what you have, outfield depth, rotation depth, prospect depth, put whatever you can together. You know, like how on MLB The Show, you can kind of like take a player, or I don't know if this is MLB The Show or Out of the Park Base, but you can take a player and shop. You can find all the things that teams are willing to, all the teams that are willing to trade for that player and what they're willing to trade for that player. I think that's a setting that exists in MLB The Show. You just do that with Dominguez and Hess and Lewis. You package them all together. You go, Nationals, would you share this score for him? Yes, done. Or you take it to the Brewers first. You go, would you do this for Peralta? Then you say yes to the Nationals if the Brewers say no. But you got to go get a starting pitcher. Lodolo is someone I'm interested in. I tweeted this out yesterday, and I kind of want to get your take on this before we wrap things up. I feel like they're going to like pull some like random out of their ass trade for somebody that you and I have not talked about once. That is what I think happens.
Yeah, that it probably will happen like that, because I think the Yankees like to use, sometimes, you like to use these big trade discussions as distractions. You know, I think they like to... Think about it. If they push for Cabrera, and look, I think they did have genuine interest in Cabrera, but like, here's the silver lining. The Cubs get Cabrera. Now if the Yankees go to pivot to another arm, there's one less competitor out there in the trade market, right? So like, there's now one less team that's willing to outbid them. So maybe Cabrera was their top option. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe they were like, you know, we're happy getting him, no doubt. But if we don't, okay, the Cubs aren't there to negotiate with us anymore. They're not there to bid against us and elevate that price. So maybe it's a silver lining, and that usually opens the door for other options. Look, we've heard the Yankees like Gore. They like Freddy Peralta. We've heard Lodolo. Like, it doesn't end at Edward Cabrera, guys. They like Sandy Alcantara. You know what I mean? Like, they like a lot of guys. This is not unusual for the Yankees to be connected to every single player that could possibly be traded or signed in free agency. So let's not forget there's other names out there. Let's not forget that now the Cubs aren't negotiating. They're not out there looking for a starting pitcher anymore. So the Yankees now have one less team to compete with. And I think that that does open the door for Brian Cashman to be a little bit more aggressive in other ways. He's been doing that for a long time, you know, in free agency as well. Like, teams use the Yankees as leverage a lot. Now teams can use the Mets as well. But that's why David Stearns is being kind of quiet, patient. I'm genuinely scared, though, Ryan, that they are going to swoop in and take Bellinger from us at the final hour. I genuinely do think that there is a possibility where the Yankees are like, we're going to get him. We want this. This is blah, blah, blah. And the Mets are just waiting to the Yankees to bid against themselves and say, I'm just going to give him more money the last second and let him decide. You know, does he want the money or does he want to be a Yankee? I wouldn't be so surprised if they made a nice big offer right before the Yankees closed the deal. So, you know, it's annoying having a team across the river that, you know, has all this money and has an owner that doesn't really care about the money spent. It's more about, you know, the right players and right fits. And Bellinger, unfortunately, is a pretty good fit for the Mets. So it's a tough one.
Yeah, look, again, I think the thing I've been saying for weeks is that if David Stearns traded Brandon Nimmo's contract, didn't have any interest in talking to Alonso once it got to like 4 or 5 years, and wasn't willing to go beyond 3 years for Edwin Diaz just to give 6 years at like $30 million a year for Cody Bellinger, that he's a dumb GM. I would lose all respect for David Stearns, a GM. And I think I'm much higher on David Stearns as a general manager than like the median Mets fan. Like, I think this guy's one of the smartest people in baseball. I think the Mets are a very well-ran organization because of Stearns and some of the people they have inside on the coaching side and their draft process. I could go on for ages. That's a different conversation, though. But all that's to say, I think only one, my suspicion is that there's only one team in baseball that really thinks Cody Bellinger's like all that. Because there's only one team in baseball, of the teams that are currently like swimming in these waters, who have a ballpark that Bellinger is all that in. Yankee Stadium. The New York Yankees. Bellinger's going to hit like 20 home runs maybe in Citi Field. That dude is going to struggle with it for power out there. And the Mets are going to have to spend a lot of money to basically get a glove outfielder. They're basically getting Stephen Kwan, and they're paying $180 million for 30-year-old Stephen Kwan. A little more power, a little less contact, but like in terms of offensive output, in terms of like OPS plus.
Tucker is the better fit for them, obviously.
Tucker's a better fit for the Yankees. Tucker's,
yeah, of course.
Tucker's a better fit for everybody. Everybody should sign.
I mean, he's a better player. Of course, he's a better player.
So, you know, again, I'm not going to rehash it. I know that, you know, you all know how I feel. You guys, you know how I feel, Alex. But
of course,
as things stand right now, look, they want Bellinger back. And if they had Bellinger and Peralta and bring in a reliever, you can't tell me that that's not a really good team.
No, of course not. You can't. That's a good team right there.
But I will also say, like, I wouldn't bet on them getting Peralta. I would bet on another team having more prospect capital. I don't even know if I'd bet on them getting Gore. I'd bet on another team having more prospect capital. So this is the issue they're in right now. Hopefully, Bellinger signs back, and having Dominguez gives them that major league asset that pushes them over the edge in trade. But we'll see. Alex, any final thoughts on Gore and this market?
Look, it's a glacial speed right now. It's slow. It's kind of boring. But this is usually what January feels like, Ryan. We've done this many times. This is there's periods of the offseason that feel a little bit more boring. This one especially, though, has been really slow. So it's unfortunate. But every day that passes is one day closer to spring training and one day closer to a potential move being made. The Yankees are going to make some moves. It's just a matter of when and how much it's going to cost. They're being patient because the entire league seems to be patient right now. I think it mostly has to do with the CBA in 2027. Like, teams are just kind of worried about overspending and, like, the length of the years, and they're trying to, like, kind of create a different power dynamic with players and saying, like, we're not going to give you 7-8 years unless you're Juan Soto or, like, one of those big names. We prefer to pay more upfront in AAV and keep the years less. So it seems like there is a trend happening across the league right now, but things will start to happen relatively soon. In the next couple of weeks, and we'll be here to cover it for you guys. But if you have any other topics, discussions, players you want us to break down for you, of course, we are always happy to take your suggestions and make them a reality. But Ryan, always a pleasure to join the podcast with you and break down some Yankees baseball.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I really hope that we can have a move to talk about. That'd be nice. I think we all agree that it's kind of boring to talk just rumors, but that's where we're at right now. This will go up there with, like, the Jerks and Profar offseason. That's like a running joke. This channel was a Jerks and Profar discussion page for 1 month.
He had a pretty good season, though, after.
That was the year he ended up being really awful. The year after.
Oh, the year after that.
Yes, yes. The year before, he was the worst qualified player in Major League Baseball. and we spent a month discussing whether the Yankees should sign him. And the Yankees ended up with Oswaldo Cabrera and Aaron Hicks in left field. And Hey, man. I hope we're not doing the same thing this February or March, but we'll see what ends up happening. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in here on Fireside Yankees. Like, subscribe, comment. Your subscription, your likes, your comments, they not only help our videos in the algorithm, but it also helps you support our goals. We're trying to reach 30,000 subscribers before the All-Star break, so if you can help us get there, we'd really appreciate it. Our social media pages, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and of course, this YouTube page, all available in the description below. And finally, our Patreon. I want to thank our Patreon members. They're currently displayed on screen. If you want your name on this screen, you can click the link to our Patreon, sign up, join, support us. If you can't totally understand, but I would really appreciate your support. So Terry, Luke, Vinny, Archie, Jagger, Flyatory, and Bill, thank you all for your support. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Let's go Yankees, and peace out.
Perfect.